Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitraketu meets the Lord, text number 40.
Jita ajita tata bhavata yadaha bhagavatam dharmam anavadyam niskinchana ye munaya Atmarama yam upasate pavargaya. Jitam ajita tata bhavata. Yadaha bhagavatam dharmam anavadyam. Niskinchana ye munaya Atma rama yam upasate pavargaya.
Munaya Atmarama Yamupasate Pravargaya. Ladies, Ye Munaya. Mayam se pravargya. Jitam conquered. Ajita. O unconquerable one. Tada. Then. Bhavata. By your lordship. Yada. When. Aha. Spoke. Bhagavatam, which helps the devotee approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam, the religious process. Anavadyam, faultless, free from contamination. Diskinchana, who have no desire to be happy with material opulences. Yea, those who, Munaya, great philosophers and exalted sages, Atma Arama, those who are self-satisfied, being completely aware of their constitutional position as eternal servants of the Lord. Yam, whom upasate worship apavargaya, for achieving liberation from material bondage. Purport and translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O unconquerable one, when you spoke about Bhagavad Dharma, which is the uncontaminated religious system For achieving the shelter of your lotus feet, that was your victory. Persons who have no material desires, like the Kumaras, or self-satisfied sages, worship you to be liberated from material contamination. In other words, they accept the process of Bhagavad Dharma to achieve shelter at your lotus feet. Please repeat, O unconquerable one. When you spoke about Bhagavad Dharma, which is the uncontaminated religious system, for achieving shelter of your lotus feet, that was your victory. Persons who have no material desires, like the Kumaras, who are self-satisfied sages, worship you to be liberated from material contamination. In other words, they accept the process of Bhagavad Dharma to achieve shelter at your lotus feet. Purport is stated by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyābhilāṣita śūnyam jñāna karma dhirāvṛtam anukulyena kṛṣṇānu śīlanam bhaktir uttamam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord favorably and without desires for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. The Narada Pancharatrika also says, Sarva Padi Viniramuktam Tat Paradvena Niramalam. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. One should be free from all material designations and cleansed of all material contamination. He should be restored to his pure identity in which he engages his senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses. That is called devotional service. This is also called Bhagavad Dharma. Without material aspirations, one should simply serve Krishna as advice in Bhagavad Gita. Narada Pancharatra and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Dharma is the process of religion enunciated by pure devotees, direct representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead like Narada. Shukadeva Goswami and their humble servants in the disciple succession. By understanding Bhagavad Dharma, one immediately becomes free from material contamination. Living entities who are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are loitering in this material world suffering. When they are instructed by the Lord Himself about Bhagavad Dharma and they adopt it, that is victory for the Lord, for He then reclaims these fallen souls. A devotee following the principles of Bhagavad Dharma feels very much obligated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can understand the difference between life without Bhagavad Dharma and life with Bhagavad Dharma, and thus he ever remains obliged to the Lord. Taking to Krishna consciousness and bringing fallen souls to Krishna consciousness is victory for Lord Krishna. Savaya pumso puro dharmo yato bhakti rahokshaje. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which man could obtain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Bhagavatam 1.2.6. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is the pure transcendental process a religion. So the text again. Jitam ajita tadha bhavata yadaha bhagavatam dharmam anavadyam iskinchana ye munaya atma ramayam upasate
Pavargaya.
O Unconquerable One, when you spoke about Bhagavad Dharma, which is the uncontaminated religious system for achieving shelter of your lotus feet, that was your victory. Persons who have no material desires like the Kumaras or self-satisfied sages worship you to be liberated from material contamination. In other words, they accept the process of Bhagavad Dharma to achieve shelter at your lotus feet. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vricharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskyatya De Satarane. As said in the Bhagavad Gita, Sahajagna Prajashisva Puro Prakta Prajapati Anena Prasavishadvam Esha Yovishta Karmadu. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by these sacrifices because his performance will bestow upon you all liberation and all desirable things. Krishna has created the universe and many universes all for the benefit of the conditioned souls. He didn't build the universes to, as a pastime, as some less intelligent people think, that God was doing nothing and therefore he created Maya so he can do something. He could torture himself for a while and then go back to doing nothing. Or other speculations that God is a very strict person, he sends living entities here to be tortured for some time to see whether they should go to hell forever or come to some cloud where he lives and play the harp and horn forever. So there are many speculations, but actually Krishna is a supremely nice person. He gives the living entities simultaneously an opportunity to live out their fantasy of being either Radha or Krishna in different species of life, imagining that I'm Radha or Krishna, or I'm Mickey Mouse, or I'm Minnie Mouse, or I'm Tarzan, or I'm Jane, or I'm so many different things. Romeo, Juliet, and it goes on forever. We can add our names to the list. But actually, this imitation of Krishna is supposed to be just like children. They go to the sand by the beach and they build different castles. And then after some time, their parents take them by the hand and bring them home, and the sand comes and washes the castles away. The problem is that the living entity has no idea that these castles will just be washed away by the sand, and that even if they build a very nice castle, they will not be able to live there. So simply all our attempts to create some kind of very special place for us in this material world is all doomed to failure. Even Lord Brahma, who is the engineer of the universe, eventually he has to leave his body and goes on to another sand castle business, or perhaps back to the spiritual world. So here it says, once you come to the platform of unalloyed service, and that personalities like the Kumaras, that's what they're interested in. Therefore, Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. That this hankering and lamentation, this is our actual problem. Although we may think that we have so many other problems, but actually, and all based upon our hankering lamentation, but actually this is our problem, that we're hankering for what we don't have at this present time, and we're lamenting over what we had previously, but we lost. So this hankering lamentation puts us into the platform of material consciousness, in which we see all the living entities in this material world, all in relationship with our hankering and our lamentation. Even a great soul like Raghunath Das, when he went to Jagannath Puri, although he had personally met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and their associates, and although he had received their blessings, still, when he was standing there by the gates waiting for some contribution coming from the people passing by, he thought after some time, "This, I will not stand here any longer because my mind is being covered by my appreciating the people who have given me donations and my despising the people who don't. Oh, here comes that pujari. He never gives anyone a donation. We know where he's not going to go back to the spiritual world. We know where he's going. And here comes another person. He always gives people donations. He's actually a person, unlike that other miserly, wicked pujari. It's probably with that fat belly. Eats all the food himself." So naturally, this mentality will cover our consciousness. This is not samak sarvesu bhuteshu, nor does it lead to mad bhaktim labhate param. The introduction to pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is without any attachment and aversion, without any seeing people from the external point of view. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says that actually everything is quite simple. But material consciousness makes everything much more complicated. He said, Yavat sanjayate kinchit, sattvam stavra jangamam, kshetra kshetragaya samyoga, tadvidi bharatar shiva. The one who can see that the material nature and the living entities, both the knowers of the field of activity, are all that exists, he actually sees. There's only three things we actually have to see to be learned it. That there is the material nature with all its variegatedness, and then there is the seer or the observer, the experiencer of the material nature, both the soul and the super soul. If one understands that, then he actually sees things properly. As soon as we look around, we discriminate. That's not bad from the material point of view, but if that's all we do is see the differences and we don't see simultaneously the oneness, then we're actually not seeing. Then Krishna says, samam pashyanti sarvatra, samam ishvara, sama ishvara, I think I just skipped to the next verse though. No, maybe I didn't. Samam pashyanti sarvatra, samam vastitam ishvaram, ehinastyatmanatmanam tatoyati puram gatim. In any case, there's samam pashyanti sarvatra, samam ishvara sarvatra samam pashyati. Anyhow, that one who can see the super soul accompanying all living entities and all bodies, and who sees that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, he actually sees. One who can see that the super soul accompanying all living entities is equal everywhere, does not degrade himself by his mind, and thus he approaches the supreme destination. So we think, oh, Krishna, he likes this person, he doesn't like me, therefore they get the chance that I didn't get, etc., etc. So this is all covering our minds over, and we become degraded. Actually, in the material world, people are just fighting over nothing. Or they don't know what they should actually be fighting for. When Prabhupada was in this country, he actually praised the country for the one quality he saw, that they didn't interfere with his preaching. So that was very significant. There may be so many other inequalities, because after all, we're living in a Kali Yuga, where there is no religion, practically speaking, and there is no idea that the goal of life is to reach liberation. If you have no religion, then you won't know what the goal of life is. So people are only interested in economic development for sense gratification, and amongst the people fighting for economic development for sense gratification, there are some people more expert at it than others, and others who are less expert at it than others. So you have the cheaters and the cheated, and everyone's trying to become the biggest cheater. And if they can't do it in one way, they do it some other way. But in any case, by hook or crook, everyone is simply interested in getting the materials necessary to endlessly gratify the senses up until the last moment of life. But that's not the purpose of human form of life. It's to get liberation. So for liberation, one has to give up sinful activities. As it says in this verse, the great sages, they go around telling people how to become liberated. Most people don't want to hear. And they think that the sages who are giving instructions, they're parasites. If you go around telling people how to become liberated from material bondage, people criticize you. Why are you wasting your time? Why don't you get a job? If you go around telling people how to hit a ball with a stick into a hole, people will praise you and throw themselves at your feet, asking for more information. So this is the unfortunate position of Kali Yuga. People don't know what is actually to be done and what is not to be done. But the sages, they know the systematic process of coming to the platform of, first of all, getting free from all our unnecessary attachment and aversion. So for that, we have to follow some kind of authority. After all, if we have no authority externally, then the only authority I have is internally, what my mind tells me. Of course, nowadays people choose authorities externally because they are in agreement with their internal attachment and aversion. If someone likes something, if a group of people like something, then we form a club. We like this. We like this butterfly, or we like this song or musical group or football team. And anyone who's not in my club, they're useless, or if they're against my club, then they're our enemy. So people are on the basis of their internal attachments and aversions. They form associations. And if you're born into a certain country, certain religion, you're supposed to be part of the club. Everyone in your club is good, and everyone else is bad. We should get rid of everyone who's not in our club. Because, ultimately, when you boil it down, if you got rid of everyone who wasn't in your club, you'd be the only one left. You eliminate all the people, not my country, not my religion, not my height, not my weight, doesn't like asparagus. Everyone, you would be the only one left. But people think that would be very good. Then at least everyone would be in agreement. So this attachment and aversion, on the basis of that, svavidra hostra karara samstuta purusha parshu, those who are bigger animals than we are, who are able to manifest their material desires in a more dramatic way, then they become our heroes and leaders, mahajana yena katasa panta, and I aspire in the future to become as big an animal as they are. But they don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Vishnu, is to glorify Vishnu, and that Vishnu alone, by focusing our attention on Vishnu, by following his instructions, then gradually our attachments and our aversions will go away. Then we can do something positive towards helping ourselves and others. Once we stop sinful activities, once we stop trying to compete against Krishna and actually follow his instructions, then we can do something positive to helping people progress towards getting out of material consciousness. And then, if one is actually understanding what the goal is, then all the different ups and downs of material life will not make a difference. Because material life means ups and downs. Whether we like it or not, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. So one who can tolerate that and again and still remain fixed on the path, then they gradually become eligible, Krishna says, for liberation, because death means a big down. And unless one is practiced to remaining steady in the ups and downs, when you get to a big down, then there's no way of fixing the mind, keeping the mind fixed on Krishna. But, so this is liberation. This is generally known as Madhyama Adhikari, Nishta. This is the actual beginning of pure devotional service, as it explains here. There is devotional service, that is, we may follow Krishna's instructions, Anukulyena and Anushilanam, Krishna, do things for Krishna, following instructions, and it can be Anukulyena. It could be in a positive frame of mind. But that's not the definition of unalloyed devotional service, pure devotional service, that will actually give us the ecstasy that we want. It should be concentrated, tivrena. That is, there should be no other thoughts, and it should not be covered over by other material, by other activities. Anya bilasita, shunyam, jnana karma, and anarvita. Because chanting the holy name is so nice, or any kind of service, especially deity worship or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, somehow or another for some time we might actually focus our mind on the activity and forget all our problems, or what we think is our problems. Actually, we have no problem. Our only problem, because only the material body has, and the mind has so many problems. But because we're not the material body and mind, we have no problems because it's not us. It's like watching a movie and seeing that the hero has so many problems. And we may hope that the hero can conquer all the problems, but they're not our problems. They're just problems we acquired by some sentiment, some sentimental attachment to some hero in a movie, which are not real. And even if the hero solves all his problems, still it's not going to affect us. If the hero pays off his mortgage, we still have our mortgage. Similarly, we may identify ourselves with this hero called our present material body and really hope that it becomes even glorified and victorious and is worthy of being my body. But ultimately, it's just a theater going on in which we're simply a spectator, an observer, and whatever happens to this body, good or bad, is actually not happening to us, although we may identify ourselves with it as a spectator. So once one is able to transcend that, tolerate it, and go on with one's devotional service to Krishna, then gradually one can actually hear and rise up to the platform of actually devotional service. And by such hearing in an undisturbed mind, then the result is that one can gradually understand Krishna in truth. One can actually understand things properly. Namely, that we're not the body and that there's only the material nature and there is us and the super soul. And we should try to revive ourselves, our relation with the super soul, rather than being an unalloyed, uninterrupted fan of our present material circumstances, with our body being the center of some great drama that's going on that, of course, will be written about in the future when the body's true glories are understood, proclaimed and expanded forever and ever. So everyone has this dream that I'm some kind of hero or heroine in some kind of very important drama that's going on, and everything depends on it. But once that's cleared away, that the real hero and heroine, Krishna, we can focus our attention on them, and then anything we're doing, even as I said in the neophyte stage, deity worship, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, living in a holy place. If we focus our attention, then there can become some pleasure, some happiness. We can actually experience Krishna consciousness, even for a moment. Of course, as soon as we experience some happiness and ecstasy, then our mind congratulates us and says, you did a great job, you're a very advanced devotee now. Now relax and let's really deal with the real important issues that we have going today. So there's a tendency to get some ecstasy, think now I'm purified and now I can get back to my real business again. Now one who can remain steadily engaged in Krishna service by cultivating knowledge of detachment and understands the gets the taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, gradually one can rise to knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then meditate in trance upon Krishna in great devotional ecstatic love. So Prabhupada said this is the process of gradual elevation that the great personalities go throughout the whole universe trying to distribute to others. It is not a very complicated science. It doesn't mean that one person can participate and others can't. Everyone, each individual soul, has their eternal relation with Krishna, and it is their business to revive that relation with Krishna. If someone doesn't want to revive that relation with Krishna, we may try to twist their arm, but that may not help either. Therefore, the great personalities, they go around the universe looking for someone who has some interest in some way or tries to create such an interest. I was just reading yesterday in the Bhaktisiddhanta Bhai Bhava that sometimes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada would have big, big festivals. And one time a million people came and he'd have, he'd divide up his festivals into two sections. One was material section, the other was spiritual section. So we have all kinds of attractions. Wrestling going on, boxing, farming equipment, and all kinds of new inventions, and all kinds of everything going on in one section. Big, big place. And then the other one was his exhibition of the Gaudiya Math, the Vishnu deities, Narayan, Krishna, Dhyaramas, etc. So he tried to attract people somehow or another to come to this program, and then he tried to give them some insights into their identity with Krishna. So although he was noted to be a very strict personality, I was also reading that when he built his temples, which were many temples around India, for the accommodations for his brahmacharis, it said they had them all rickety and about to fall apart, so they wouldn't be attached to staying around just for having a nice place to live. He wanted them to be serious about their sadhana. So for their personal bhajan and service, he wanted the devotees to be very serious, but to attract others, sometimes he was very liberal. Not that we have a very nice place for ourselves, and to attract others for the Sunday feast, we serve them popcorn. If they're really sincere, they'll come and hear. The great personalities, they try somehow or another to think of some way to attract the conditioned souls to hear about Krishna, because they know that ultimately what Krishna wants is that they revive their relation with him. That's all he's created the universe really for. But if they don't want, then he creates this as a prison, so that the prison guard, the head of the prison, will torture them until one day they'll give up and surrender to Krishna again. So ultimately, Krishna only wants that the living entities come back to him, not for his own happiness. We can see Lord Jagannath is smiling, although he has to see so many conditioned souls every day. We don't see him that, you know, one day, a big frown, this is too much. Nothing works around here. I'm the only one smiling. I'm depressed. No, he's always happy and joyful, but he becomes more happy and joyful when he sees the conditioned souls making progress in reviving their relation with him, because he loves everyone unconditionally. So he wants us to wake up again to our Krishna consciousness only for our benefit, because he knows that will actually make us happy, and that's what makes him happy. Just as the soul can only be made happy when he sees Krishna is happy, so Krishna is happy when he sees that the soul is happy. So that's our whole business. Somehow or another, help people become Krishna conscious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
There's three things you listed. I think it was like three different kinds of beings or three different engagements in the universe or something. Three different reasons for life on Earth. This is kind of towards the beginning of the lecture.
Three reasons for life on Earth. Well, there's water, there's air.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember.
Well, I said the reason for life on Earth, everyone wants, the real reason should be for religious principles to obtain liberation. But instead, people are only interested in economic development for sense gratification. Therefore, they're missing the point. And actually, they're so, because they've devoid of religion, they can't even get real economic development. Therefore, their senses are never satisfied. An iPod will not satisfy our senses, especially all of them. You can't eat, there's no good, nutritious iPod, ultimately. Therefore, if all you had was iPods, and because they're making so many iPods and other things like that, the water, the air, everything is contaminated, including our food. Therefore, with every iPod, the carrot and everything else we eat is more or less degraded, less satisfying. A material modern civilization only exists as some idea that we become the conquerors of material nature. And this way material nature is fooling us, bewildering us.
Even though sometimes those pleasures are temporary, but how can we recognize which kind of pleasures are material and which are spiritual?
Well, if we don't, just like how do you recognize a match when you light it in a dark room? How do you know where the match is? It becomes self-evident. When we obtain the platform of transcendental pleasure, then it'll be self-evident what's the difference between transcendental pleasure and other kinds of pleasure. For one thing, it's actually pleasure, and it's not temporary.
So, for example, sometimes when I see the sunrise, I can feel a lot of ecstasy. That kind of pleasure, is it material or spiritual?
Well, if we see the sunrise, when we remember that sun rising is Krishna, the sun is Krishna's energy, and we feel the ecstasy in relation with Krishna, then it's spiritual. And we just see a sun rising, and we feel some enthusiasm, that's material. If Krishna is not there, it's material. And as soon as Krishna is there, then it's spiritual. Yes.
Thanks for the nice class, Maharaj. I was wondering, what kind of advice can you give to the books distributors for this month?
Distribute a lot of books.
Is that all?
And don't think that you're the distributor. Everything really The ultimate technique is to rely upon Krishna. Of course, to rely upon Krishna means many things. But if one is praying to Krishna to send people, then it's more likely he's going to send anyone. And if we think I'm out there, I'm the hero, and some, you know, I'm the savior of all the conditioned souls, that they're lucky to get my association because I can purify them, because I'm endowed with great Shakti. And hopefully someone, Krishna will send someone along to purify us. It may not be so pleasant.
What do I tell him? I guess he's telling me to ask you why. What happens if we were to actually distribute books for the rest of our lives? If we're feeling some sort of pleasure at the moment?
Well, somehow or another, not only book distribution, but any service which is done sincerely to please Krishna, which brings us into Krishna consciousness, then we'll feel pleasure. It's not that, you know, at the time of my death, I see, you know, then I have to get a book back and go out. Or else I'm lost. No, anything done sincerely to please Krishna. The difference is, in book distribution, you have no choice. If you want to distribute books, you have to rely upon Krishna. Because obviously people didn't come out in the street looking for a Hare Krishna to get a book from. So it demands some concentration in the mission of Krishna consciousness. And when we do it, when we actually act as Krishna's instrument, then he becomes pleased and he gives us some enthusiasm. Because it's practical service in Krishna. But anyone who's sincerely trying to please Krishna will also feel transcendental happiness.
But how would we be able to, like, keep it, like, how do we be able to control the ecstasy?
If we're not doing something for Krishna, Maya will encourage us. Somehow or another, we'll become encouraged, either by the association of devotees, or Maya will, japatiya dar, Maya will slap us down. She'll come over here, come over here. Whack! How does that feel? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.